The church operates on the back of volunteers. But do you know that a volunteer is a unique kind of person? A volunteer has a different kind of heart. If you could cut open the heart of a volunteer, what would you find in their heart? What's in the heart of a volunteer? I'll be back in a moment, and we'll take a look in the book.
Bread of life, sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by the Bible Way Community Baptist Church in Irving, Texas, where the pastor is Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will be bringing a series of messages from the Book of Nehemiah. Now get close to your radio and listen as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. takes A Look in the Book.
Nehemiah chapter 11, beginning with verse number one. It says, now the leaders of the people lived in Jerusalem, but the rest of the people cast lot to bring one out of 10 to live in Jerusalem, the holy city, while 9/10 remained in other cities. And the people blessed all the men who volunteered to live in Jerusalem. Look at verse 2. It says, and the people blessed all the men who volunteered to live in Jerusalem. I want to talk this morning on the subject, the heart of a volunteer. The heart of a volunteer. High five somebody and tell them the pastor is going to talk about the heart of a volunteer. God bless you. You may be seated. The heart of a volunteer. The church operates on the backs of volunteers. If the church is to survive, it must have volunteers. Reminded of a story about a man who went on a job interview. As he was interviewing on the job, when it came to the close of the interview, the interviewer asked him, do you have any questions regarding our company? And the man says, yes, I do have one question. Do you have any health insurance for your employees? And the man said, well, we do have a group insurance plan that you can buy into, but the company do not pay for it. That's something that you would have to pay for it, and it would be deducted from your pay. So the man said, well, you know, the last company that I was with, the company paid for the health insurance. Matter of fact, the company pays for us to have even dental insurance. The company even paid for us to have life insurance. We even had 401k. We had all kinds of benefits. We had 3 weeks of vacation, and we got a Christmas bonus. And if the company done good, we even got an end of the year bonus. We had all kind of benefits at the company that I used to work for. And so the interviewer began to ask him, he said, well, since you had such a perfect company, why did you quit that perfect company? He said, oh, I didn't quit. The company went out of business. You know, church, if we paid everybody, the choir to sing, if we paid the ushers to usher, if we paid every preacher, if we paid every deacon, if we paid every trustee, if we paid every member to come to church, if we paid everybody to do whatever they have done for the church itself would go out of business. See, the church operates on the back of volunteers. If the church is to survive, it must have volunteers. When we look at our lesson, we've been studying the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah had came to a run-down, dilapidated city, and they had rebuilt the walls in that city. After they had rebuilt the walls in the city, now they got the city together, they still had one more problem. The problem was, is the average person lived outside of the city. The reason that they was in that dilapidated condition to begin with is 100 years earlier when folks came back to Jerusalem, they began to start moving out to the suburbs and they left a vacuum in the city. And you know, wherever there's a hole that has been left by Christians, you know who's going to fill that hole. The enemy comes in once God's people go out. And so they had this nice city, but they had to get somebody to come back and live in the city, unless the devil was going to continue to run roughshod over the people in the city. And so they began to decide and determine who would go back and live in that city. The Bible lets us know that the leaders, they decided that they would go ahead and move back into the city. The Bible lets us know that some of the priests, they began to move back and live in the city. The Bible lets us know some of the Levites, in other words, some of the deacons, they began to move back and live in that city. But that still was not enough to really occupy the city. And so the Bible says they began to cast lots. In other words, they began to kind of go with the eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch this person by the toe. If he holler, let him go, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. I don't know exactly what it was, but the Bible says they cast lots in that city. And so some was determined to go back by lots. But then they still had a lot of room. They still had vacancy in the city. And so the Bible says in verse number 2 that there were some volunteers, some people that was not drafted, some people just decided that they would volunteer and go back and live in that city. Oh, the Bible says when the folks found out about it, the Bible says they blessed them who volunteered to go in the city. Did you catch that? The Bible says they blessed all the people. They blessed the men who volunteered to go in the city.
All right.
See, it's one thing for you to go into the city because it's your job to be in the city. But when it's not your job to be there, but you volunteer to go there anyway, the folks say we need to give them some praise here.
Amen.
We need to bless these people to go back in the city. These folks had what I call the heart of a volunteer. they had what the average person is missing. And they had the heart of a volunteer. See, anybody and everybody could have moved back in the city, but only a few people decided to go back to the city of God. Right. Only a few people decided to go back to that holy city. Yeah. Only a few people decided to go back to that place where God had chosen to put his name. Why did they do it? Why did they do it? I believe they've done it because they have what I call the heart of a volunteer. Amen. You know, I believe that if we would cut open the heart of a volunteer, what would you see in a volunteer's heart? I believe you would see many things in their heart, but this morning I want to give you three things that you'll find in the heart of a volunteer. Can I give you three things this morning? Let's just pretend this box, this red box here, is the heart of a volunteer. What you think you'll find in this box? I think you'll find the first thing in this box. You'll find the Word of God. But not just the Word of God. You'll find, here it is, faith in the heart of a volunteer. You'll find faith in the heart of a volunteer. The faith that believes in the Word of God. See, the devil go around saying he believed in God. See, you can ask almost anybody and almost everybody, do you believe in God? And they will tell you, yes, I believe in God. But they really don't believe in God like the Bible talks about believing in God. The Bible says the devil believes in God, and yet he trembles. He still don't obey God because he don't have faith. Faith is in their heart of a volunteer. See, for these people to go back to Jerusalem, they had to have faith. Amen. See, they already had a house, but now they're getting ready to leave a house to go back to no house. Oh, in order to do that, you got to have some faith. Amen. They already got a field. They already got a garden over there. But there's no garden over there. But that's where they're going. They're going to a place where there is no God. In order for them to do that, that's got to take some faith. See, to go from the known to the unknown, to go from the familiar to the unfamiliar, oh, that's going to take some faith. See, faith is taking a risk. See, when you say you got faith, then I want to know what risk are you taking?
Amen.
A lot of folks say they got faith in God, but they're still sitting in the pew.
Amen.
See, you can't say you got faith in God and you are inactive in the things of God. If you got faith in God, then you're going to get off the sideline and come into the playing field. And I know what I'm talking about. Look here. Go back with me over here to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Just turn in your Bible about six or seven books backwards to your left. Gone past Ezra. Gone past 2 Chronicles and 1 Chronicles. Gone past 2 Kings and 1 Kings. Gone past 2 Samuel. And then stop at 1 Samuel. And you'll find at chapter 17 a very interesting story. Most of you grew up on this story. It was the story of David and Goliath. And the Bible tells us that Goliath had been tormenting the people for 40 days. He'd been meddling. He'd been talking smack for 40 days to God's people. All God's people out there talking about they got faith in the Lord. They believe in the Lord. But all of them was on the sideline. David showed up with a little sack lunch. And when David heard that giant talking, he said, who in the world is this? that uncircumcised Philistine here talking all that smack? Why come y'all ain't gonna shut his mouth for? All of them, I know why they ain't shut his mouth up. All of them were scared. Ain't no mess with somebody that's 9 feet 9.
Amen.
And got a spear that weigh 100 pounds. Ain't messing with him. They were scared.
Amen.
But David said, let me have it. Look here at verse 32. David said to Saul, let no man's heart, see that word heart? Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Don't be scared in your heart because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. I'll take him on. David is showing he got faith. Well, but where's the faith at? It's in where? It's in his heart. Then Saul said to David, man, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. But look what David said. But David said, Saul, your servant was attending his father's sheep when a lion and a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. David said, you think I stayed on the sideline? When that bear and that lion came out, I ain't staying on the sideline. He says, I went out, well, after him. I attacked him. He didn't attack me, I attacked him. In other words, David is saying here, that lion was in bad shape. And rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, David said, I had something for him. I seized him by his beard, and I struck him, and I killed him. David said, I collared him. Grabbed him by the beard. And then bumped him in the head. Boom. That was the end of the line. He said, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he had taunted the armies of the living God. He didn't know what he was messing with. He may have an undefeated record, but now he's messing with the armies of the living God. See, this is where the average person go wrong. The average person look at their situation and they put themselves up against their situation. But David said, no. I ain't looking at like him up against me. No, he's in bad shape because he's up against God. And see, when you put God in the equation, everything makes a difference. Oh, the whole equation changed. The stuff that you used to couldn't do, when you put God in the equation, now you can do it. You can do it now because God is in the equation. So the first thing that you're going to find in the heart of a volunteer is you got to have faith. A volunteer has faith in his heart. But there's something else. If you look in the heart of a volunteer, you get something else out of his heart. You want to know the second thing?
Yes, sir.
It's in the heart of a volunteer is surrender.
Amen.
Surrender is in the heart of a volunteer. The white handkerchief is a symbol of surrender. Have you ever been watching the Westerns? And sometimes when the sheriff and their posse done got the bad guys all surrounded, they be shooting at first, you know, they be shooting behind the rock. But once, you know, Matt Dillon show up and Fester show up, they see they ain't got a chance when they see that they surrounded. But when they see that they surrounded, you know what they do? They throw up the white flag. They throw up that white flag. In other words, they're saying, we give up. We surrender. In the heart of every volunteer is somebody who done threw up the white flag. They done told God, I'm surrendering. Yes. See, think about it. These people, they had this land for years, had these houses for years, had crops and stuff over here, the field for years. But now they're saying, we're giving it up for you, God. We're giving up the house for you, God. We're giving up the crops for you, God. We're giving up all these animals for you, God, that we can go on and do your will. We're giving it up. Now, this is what separates the men from the bars.
Amen.
This is the stuff that separates the girls from the women. Is this thing of surrender. The reason the average person in church cannot do what God has called them to do, it's not that you don't have the ability. If you hadn't thrown up the flag for availability. Not about ability, it's availability. Turn with me. I know what I'm talking about. Turn with me over here to St. Mark. Let's go to the New Testament. Can we go to the New Testament? Over here in St. Mark chapter 10. Very interesting story. Very interesting story. Mark chapter 10, verse number 17. When you find it, says, I'm with you, Pastor.
I'm with you, Pastor.
Look at the text. The text says, and as he was, verse 17, chapter 10 of Mark, as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and began asking him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. In other words, Jesus was saying, do you recognize divinity when you see it? You're talking to God right now. Verse 19, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Now notice what this guy said. And he said to him, teacher, I done kept all these things from my youth. Isn't that something? He says, I done done everything that the books say. But notice what Jesus said. And looking at him, Jesus felt our love for him and said to him, one thing you lack, go sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. But at these words, his face fell and he went away grieved. Why? For he was one. He was just one of them who owned much promise. Why come this man couldn't do it? Wait a minute, brother. You're keeping the Ten Commandments. You're not stealing. You're not killing. You're not committing adultery. You're not lying. You're not bearing false witness against your neighbor. You're honoring your father and your mother. And you still can't follow Jesus? Let me tell you something. You can keep all the Ten Commandments and still not follow God. If you hadn't came to the point of throwing out a white flag in your heart. Notice, Jesus said this man was missing something. He thought he had everything, but Jesus said, you're missing one thing. What was he missing? He was missing a heart of surrender. Jesus says, all I want you to do is just go and give up everything that you got. Go sell your possession and then give it to the poor. Don't even bring it to me. I ain't after your money, man. Go give it to the poor. Oh, I wish some prosperity preachers would just read this one little verse right here. And then that would shut down all of that sending in your tithe money to California. You stand here in Dallas sending your tithe money to New York City, and you stand right here, and that would shut all that down.
Amen. Yeah,
Jesus said, give to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven. Look what Jesus is saying. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying, listen, if you come on and volunteer me, with me, brother, you're not so much missing out on anything.
Sent down the glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word.
If you would like a copy of the message that you've just heard in its entirety, call the church office now at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or write to Bible Way Community Baptist Church, 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas, 75062. You're also invited to worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at Bible Way Community Baptist Church in Irving. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.